something planned. Hopefully, okay. Hopefully I won't have any trouble with internet connections, but I assume that maybe Wendy will become the co-host.
Can you make me co-host? You made me co-host, right?
Yeah, let me just make that right now. Oh, sorry.
That way, Edgar, if you need to leave, we're backed up.
Yeah, me co-host. Okay. So did you get a note? Your co-host? Excellent. Okay, well, let me go ahead and hit start. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to IIS's office hours for the month of August. It is our pleasure to have you here, and we hope you will find this session informative. My name is Christina Negueta. I am a IIIS Science and Technology Policy Fellow at the National Science Foundation. I'm in the SCIFE Directorate, and I will be your moderator for this office hour. And just a couple of reminders. We're going to have a presentation, and if you have questions, please use the Q&A tab at the bottom of your Zoom screen to enter your questions, and we will take some of your questions via writing, or we will answer them live. And the other reminder is that this meeting is recorded, so please be aware of that. As you ask questions or as you have other pertinent information. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and ask our panelists to introduce themselves. Let me start with Tom.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tom Martin. I'm a program director in SCIFE in the Information and Intelligent Systems Division, and I'm the SCIFE representative to the GRFP program.
Thank you, Tom. Wendy?
I'm Wendy Nielsen. I'm the Deputy Division Director in Information and Intelligence Systems, and we're very grateful to have our GRFP colleagues here.
Thank you. John Han?
Good afternoon. Hi, I'm Zhang-An Han. I'm the program lead for the Graduate Research Fellowship Program, GRFP.
Thank you. And Sammy?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Samia Manning. You can call me Sammy. I am one of the program specialists with the GRFP program, and I currently am working with the outreach program for GRFP, and it is nice to be speaking with you all this afternoon.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Edgar is our support, so thank you, Edgar. And I will just go ahead and pass it on to Sammy, and she'll give us the insight on GRFP.
Thank you, Christina. And again, welcome everyone, and thank you for participating in the GRFP Information Hour. I hope that you get a lot of great information from this presentation today. We will be answering questions at the end of the presentations. If you have furthermore questions, please feel free to reach out to some of the email or one of the email addresses that will be presented to you at the end of this presentation. So I will now begin the GRFP presentation slide, which GRFP comes from the Division of Graduate Education, and we are the Graduate Research Fellowship Program, GRFP, at nsfgrfp.org. Now, the Graduate Research Fellowship Program, it is the Directorate for STEM Education currently known as EDU, and is Division of Graduate Education at DGE. And as you can see, you can reach us at www.nsf.gov/grfp or at info@nsfgrfp.org or www.nsfgrfp.org. To give you a little bit of information about the GRFP program today, I will let you know what you will need as far as the GRFP information, the description, the eligibility, the ineligible degree programs, the ineligible areas of study and proposed research, the application package, and review criteria. Our first slide lets you know that about GRFP, we have funded over 70,000 GRFPs awarded. We have an annual stipend of $37,000 yearly with the cost of education allowance at $16,000. And some of the eligible major fields of study for GRFP is chemistry, life sciences, psychology, social sciences, materials research, engineering, mathematical sciences, STEM education, and learning research. We have a lot to offer, and we ask that if you could see on the left, if you would please always submit early. It is open to individuals who are pursuing research-based master's and doctoral degrees in eligible fields of study. And again, that information can be found at nsfgrfp.org. Our next slide will give you a little bit more information about the Graduate Research Fellowship Program description. 5-year awards for GRFP are $159,000. $53,000 each year for 3 years over a 5-year period. $37,000 is the stipend plus the $16,000 in education allowance and paid in tuition. Payment covers all tuition and mandatory fees, no cost to students. Other NSF opportunities are the intern, which is a non-academic internship program, FACE Individuals with Disability Support, Career Life Balances Initiative with Family Leave. Fellowship.
Excuse me one second. I see somebody saying they can't see the slides. Is that a problem for everyone, or is it? If it's, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
No worries.
We don't have a generic problem, and I'm sorry if we have an individual problem because that stinks. Okay, so I'm getting a lot of them. I can see them. So I'm sorry for the person who can't see them, but we will be posting them afterwards. So stay tuned, and there's a ton of really good information. So,
okay, thank you. So there are four types, one being a fellowship, which is awarded to individuals paid through the attended graduate institution. Flexible, the choice of project, the advisor and graduate program. The unrestricted, no service requirement after completion. And the portable can be used at any accredited nonprofit U.S. institution of higher education with campus in the U.S. for research-based master's and doctoral degrees. In 2010 through 2022, 2,100 fellowships yearly. In 2022, we had 12,600 applications with an 18% success rate. In 2021, we had 12,600 applications with a 17% success rate. In 2020, we had 12,800 applications with a 16% success rate. And in 2019, we had 12,200 applications with a 16% success rate. The overall goal of the Graduate Research Fellowship Program is to recruit individuals into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM fields, to select, recognize, and financially support individuals who have demonstrated the potential to be high-achieving scientists and engineers early in their careers, to broaden participation of the full spectrum of diverse talents in STEM. The Graduate Research Fellowship Program and the eligibilities to apply. One, you have to be a U.S. citizen, nationals, and a permanent resident. You have to have an early career in undergrad and graduate students, pursuing research-based master's and or doctoral degrees, no professional degrees. science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, or STEM education full-time enrollment in graduate degree programs at accredited nonprofit U.S. institutions of higher education. There are no foreign institutions allowed. There are several levels to the Graduate Research Fellowship Program. Level 1, a senior's bachelor's degree, no graduate study. Level 2, first-year graduate studies, joint bachelor's or master's completed in 3 years. Level 3, second-year graduate students, no more than one academic year completed in first graduate degree program. A joint BS, MS holders only can apply as first-year doctoral students progress to PhD directly after completing joint BS, MS degree. Notice that at level 2 and level 3, you only can apply once. Level 4, returning graduate studies, is a 2-year interruption in graduate study, no doctorates or academic year in graduate program, or not enroll in a graduate program at application deadline. Also, professional degree programs, e.g., MBA, MD, JD, DVM, or DDS, joint science professional degrees programs, e.g., MD, PhD, or JD, PhD, community, global, or public health, MPH, counseling, social work, MSW, education, except for STEM education, humanities, except history of science. Please see the detailed eligibility requirements in the solicitation for GRFP. Now, research with directly health-related goals, etiology, diagnose, or treatment of disease or disorder, animal models of disease for drug development testing, disease prevention, public community global health, clinical research, patient-oriented research, and epidemical and behavioral studies. The outcome research, health services, standard of care, health policy, research directly leading to clinical trials, advocacy for specific policy outcomes, applied research on plant pathology, maximizing agricultural production, and impacts on food safety. And these are some of the areas of study and proposed research. Now, this is the most important part for me with GRFP, and it's making sure that you have a complete application package. And the number one thing I love to always tell people when applying, whatever you do, please don't wait to the last minute to apply. As soon as the solicitation comes out, make sure that you apply, because when the deadline comes, we shut down on time. So please, again, do not wait to the last minute. In the GRFP application, the complete application package requires your personal information, education, work research experience, your proposed major field of study, your honors, awards, and publications, your personal relevant background and future goals statement, 3-page a PDF, your graduate research statement, which is a 2-page PDF, your transcripts, PDFs are mandatory, and letters of reference may provide up to 5 names of reference letter writers. Mandatory to have 3 reference writer names. And again, please make sure that you follow all of the application processes, procedures to make sure that you complete your application completely and in a professional manner of time. Do not wait to the last minute. The GRFP application specifics. The deadlines are 5 p.m. local time of applicant mailing address. And when I stress 5 p.m., 459.60 seconds, we are waiting and the system will shut down. So as of October the 16th, 2023 is the deadline for life sciences. October the 17th, 2023, computer and information science and engineering, materials research. Materials research, psychology, social sciences, and STEM education and learning. The deadline for engineering will be October the 19th, 2023 in chemistry, geosciences, mathematical science, physics, and astronomy. Deadline will be October the 20th, 2023. Please read the GRFP solicitation for detailed application, instructions, and requirements. To request accessibility accommodations, please contact info@nsfgrfp.org at least 4 weeks before the application deadline. This is to give you a little example of how the GRFP application timeline works. In late October, the applications are due. Shortly after application is due, the reference letters are due. For level one only, apply to grad school. That again is for level one only, apply to grad schools. Then comes the fellowship offers, which comes out in March through April. The acceptance of award and declaration of tenure or reserve is done in early May, and your fellowship year begins early September. This is an example of how the GRFP application timeline works. Now, I'm going to give you a little information on the two statements that GRFP requires, one being the personal relevant background and goals, and two being your research statement. Personal relevant background and goals. Tell your story. Demonstrate your potential for STEM research, experiences, professional and personal, that contributed to your motivation and preparation for pursuing a STEM career. Career aspirations and future goals. How have you experienced shaped your goals? Research, industrial, professional experience. One, what was the project and what was your role? Two, how did you become involved and what was it done? Three, why was this project worth doing? What have you learned? Any advanced courses, I have to move my screen, coursework, and what was your contribution to the project and how did it fit into the whole? Your research statement. Please describe your proposed research plan. Communicate your research idea and approach. Explain your research plan and methods. What do you expect to learn? How will you know if the project is successful? And what would you do next? Keep in mind, avoid jargon, communicate clearly for non-specialists, and make your contributions clear. Clearly address NSF's merit review criteria, intellectual merit, and broader impacts under separate headings. Your reference letters and transcripts. Reference letters, mandatory for application review. Three reference writer names in the application and two reference letters must be received by NSF. Strongly recommended is to have a list up to five names of reference writers and three reference letters received by NSF. List and rank up to five reference letter writers. Top three will be seen by the reviewers. Transcripts that are required. All applicants must submit bachelor's degree transcript, transcripts required for all degree programs, transcripts required for all graduate degree enrollment, official or unofficial transcripts accepted, official transcripts recommended for second year graduate students. Now I will explain the GRFP review criteria. The intellectual merit, how important is the proposed activity to advancing knowledge within its own field or across different fields? The broader impacts, how well does the proposed activity benefit society or advance desired social outcomes? And this is the comprehensive review for the National Science Board of Merit Review criteria for GRFP. Review considerations. Demonstrated potential for significant achievement in STEM comprehensive, holistic approach to review, balance, consideration to all components of the application, educational and research record, leadership, outreach, service activity, plans for the future, individual competencies, experiences, and other attributes. Potential to advance knowledge. Evidence of potential and ability is to demonstrate intellectual ability, grades, awards, curricula, publications, presentations, and etc. Plan and conduct research. Work as a member of a team as well as independently. Interpret and communication research. Take initiative. Solve problems. Persist. Display the potential of your approach to your major field of study and your research plan to advance knowledge. Evidence of intellectual merit can be found in all parts of the application: personal statement, research plan, letters, experiences, awards, achievements, and transcripts. Broader impacts. Potential impact of the individual and or the research on society. Why it's important. Benefits may include but are not limited to increasing participation of the full spectrum of diverse talents in STEM, engaging in mentoring, improving STEM education in schools, increasing public scientific literacy, increased public engagement with STEM, conducting community outreach, science clubs, radio, TV, newspapers, blogs, increasing collaboration between academia, industry, and others. Evidence of broader impacts could be in all parts of the application, from your personal statements to your research plans, from the letters, your experiences, your awards, and your achievements. Thank you for listening to the GRFP presentation. I hope that this presentation was helpful to someone. I hope that you gained a lot of knowledge about the GRFP program. And most definitely, I hope that you will apply. Please apply. And again, the Graduate Research Fellowship Program, the program contacts, info@nsfgrfp.org, applicants@info@nsfgrfp.org, the GRFP reference writers, nsfgrfp.org/reference writers. GRFP reviewers, nsfgrfp.org/reviewers. And again, the phone numbers to contact someone in the GRFP office is 866-NSF-GRFP, 866-673-4737. That is a toll-free U.S. and Canada number. Our international number is 202-331-3542. Again, my name is Sam. I hope this information helps someone. I have my wonderful lead and my super colleague, Ms. Jong-Ong Ham, who is available to answer any of your questions. And again, apply, apply, apply. Don't tell yourself no. Let us tell you no. Thank you.
Yes. And let me reiterate Sam's point that we at GRFP, so I'm a little closer to computer science probably than you might think. I have a degree in neuroscience. So, you know, there's some, anyway, I dealt with the wetware. We used to call the hardware, the wetware, and the software. Anyway, so we want you to apply. GRFP has FOMO. We are afraid that we're going to miss people. We want outstanding, eligible candidates to apply, especially in the, we have high priority areas. AI is a high priority area. Computationally intensive research is a high priority area. Quantum information science. So please look, make sure you're eligible, but do apply. So there's a lot of questions in here that I am going to cover. First of all, let me say a very, very important question, money. Here's the question, how does the $16,000, it's not a stipend, the $16,000 is the cost of education allowance, which is paid to the institution where you are. The institution accepts it in lieu of all tuition and mandatory fees. So a fellow should not be paying any tuition or mandatory fees. The stipend is $37,000, and the institution gets the money and they disperse it to you. So you get it as a on a monthly basis, it's prorated. So this other question is about, can a post-bachelor's degree, so you don't have a master's degree, you don't have a PhD degree, researcher apply for the fellowship? Absolutely, yes. And actually, if you've had no graduate training and you have a bachelor's degree or your undergraduate, no graduate degree training, you can apply every year until you either get a fellowship and you go to grad school or you enroll in grad school. Once you enroll in grad school, you can only apply once. And there's actually another program that NSF offers, CS Grads for US, that is also targeted toward bachelor's degree recipients. And my colleagues can discuss that. And that's a little bit more, there's a little bit more mentoring that goes on in the beginning to help you apply for that program. When you say full time, okay, what do we mean by full time graduate study? That means what your academic institution considers. Okay, so you're enrolled as a graduate student, your institution considers you a full-time student in a degree program. That is what we take. NSF isn't deciding, you know, what's a degree full. It's what the academic institution decides. So this is no more than one academic year completed. What does that mean in a graduate degree program? So that means if you are in the first graduate degree program, you've graduated and you enrolled in a PhD program in computer science in a US not-for-profit institution. And in the first year, you will not have completed 1 year because it's in your first year and the deadlines are in October. You haven't even finished a semester. In the second year, you will have finished one academic year, whatever the definition of that your institution has for an academic year. If you're in a quarter system and they say it's four quarters, that's one academic year for you. If you're in a semester system, that covers the whole year, you know, fall, spring, summer. That's one academic year. If you have more than that, then you cannot apply because you will no longer be eligible. You will have more than one academic year. And there was a question that I saw about transcripts for second year students. And this is the reason. We suggest that you get an official transcript that shows when you started your graduate status, because whatever your institution says, that's it. That's it. Your institution has the final word on whether you're a graduate student or not. So if you were admitted to the PhD program and start your first year in fall of 2023, you could apply as a level two. Yes, as long as you don't have any other graduate study in a degree program. So I think the most important thing, and I usually say this as a disclaimer in the beginning, is please, Sam is very thorough. She's very clear, but something may have happened. So there must have been a glitch. It was me. My ISP would have, throttled me at some point. You wouldn't have been able to understand. So please, go to the nsfjrp.org website. The solicitation is out. There is a very detailed document about what's eligible, what's not eligible, who's eligible, who's not eligible. And please read it. And if you have questions, there is a little eligibility quiz, a decision tree. Are you in this status? And it will tell you, maybe you're eligible or not. And then if you have a question, contact the team at our GRF Operations Center. They're at info@nsfgrp.org or the phone numbers that you saw, because they're the team that's tasked with answering questions from applicants. And if you send anybody and anybody else an email, we'll just forward it to them because that's their job. We like them to do their job. So our second year PhD students who start the semester in late August 2022, eligible for this year's GRFP application, yes, because you won't have completed more than one academic year. If you started, however, say in June or May, and your transcript shows that you completed an additional semester before, then you will not be eligible. So please check your transcript, check the eligibility criteria to make sure that you're eligible. Okay. If you don't have a master's degree and instead have gone directly into the PhD program, that's fine. You're still a first year graduate student with no more than one academic year. Okay, so there's a question. If you've completed 2 years of a master's professional degree program, does it count as years of graduate study and therefore prevents me from applying? So all enrollment and in a graduate degree program counts. So in this case, the answer is yes. It would be unless you're not enrolled and you're returning, like you're not enrolled, that would count. So people who have more than 1 year, say you've completed a master's degree, maybe you've been working for a little while, if you're 2 years past that earning that master's degree, then you could apply as long as you're not enrolled. I know it's very complicated. This is why please go read the detailed eligibility criteria, go through that, go through the decision tree eligibility quiz, and contact the operations center if you have detailed questions, because I'm not going to be able to answer all of those today. Okay, I think I answered this question and they will be available. Earned a professional, once again, a lot of things about joint BS master's degrees, whether you can apply. Okay, let me answer the question about the joint BS master's. Yes, you can apply while you're in a joint bachelor's master's degree. But because this is a joint bachelor's master's degree, you're considered a graduate student. Because at the end of your program, you're going to come out with a master's degree. So you could apply only once. You can apply either during the BSMS, or you can wait until, if you go directly to a PhD program, then you can apply in the PhD program. So there's a good question. What is tenure and reserve? So tenure is what we call people who are getting a stipend. And reserve are those 2 years. Remember, I said there are 3 years that you get funding and out of a 5-year degree program. Most PhD programs take 5 years, most. So you'll have a couple of years where there will be no NSF GRFP funding, and then you will have to get other funding. So many students either they can get a TA, they get another, a departmental fellowship, they can get an RA on their advisor's grant. Some people are on training grants or private, that's also possible. So there was a question also about the 3 to 5 years. So each of the three, so it's 3 years out of five, each of those years you get a $53,000 allotment, $16,000, which goes to the institution. They say, thank you, this covers all of your tuition and mandatory fees, and $37,000 a stipend, which they send to, you know, and they'll drop it in, I assume, on a monthly basis to your bank account. Those 3 years, you can decide, okay, do I want to take it this year? Maybe next year I go on something else. The year, maybe I want to be a TA, or maybe I want to go and do something, somebody else's grant. So that's how you manage it. It just kind of helps you to manage the money that you get. So there's a question about recommendation letters. Can you explain what you mean when you say that it is strongly recommended to list 5 letter writers? Does that mean we list writers that are not expected to submit a letter? No, we strongly suggest, recommend that you put at least 5 people. And first of all, ask them, hi, I'm applying for a GRF. Would you mind writing a reference letter for me? Because what they don't want is to get an email. Hello, you have been nominated by, you know, a student to write a letter and they don't know that it's coming. So please ask first. And then you rank them in the order that you want to have that be read. Only the top three ranked letters will go as part of the application package. I would strongly suggest if you are a current graduate student to have your thesis advisor, whoever your faculty primary advisor is, be one of those people. The reason we ask for five is obviously sometimes for as a backup. Things happen. You know, people are okay. They think, oh, I'm going to submit this letter tomorrow because the deadline isn't until 5 o'clock and I'll be okay. And then while they're driving home, whatever, they get into an accident, they break their leg, they go to a hospital. Stuff happens. There are a lot of people. Each of the as I said earlier, we get 13,000 applications. Each of those people are asking for at least three people, maybe more. So this is the single largest cohort of people that we engage with on a one-time basis. So we're talking like 40 to 50,000 people. And in a population of 40 to 50,000 people, stuff happens. They're someplace, their flight gets delayed, whatever. So it's just for you to make sure that you know, you have backup. So I answered the question about official transcripts, slides. Yes, can we get access to the slides? Once again, yes, you can get access to the slides. Please go to nsfgrp.org also, because there's a lot of resources there. But and again, I'm sorry, but you have to read the solicitation. You're all going to, or you want to be graduate students, or you are graduate students. There's nothing you can do to avoid reading reams and reams of text, okay? Sorry. So this was, let's see, I am ineligible. Yeah, okay. Can we include? Yes. So I have, there are questions in there about application, the format, that's all in the solicitation. And as I said, you know, the solicitation, that won't change the language. It's there all in black and white. But you might not hear something. I might misstate something. I might talk really, really fast and you don't hear what I'm saying, which is quite common because I talk very fast. So please go read the application requirements and follow them. There are templates at nsfgrp.org. Please use the templates. If you don't use the templates, sometimes, and even in some of the cases when people use the templates, but they're using an old, you know, they got an old version of Microsoft Word or whatever, or the PDF, check it first. Try it, check it, see if it'll work. You know, you can see if it'll upload and it looks okay. You can try submitting, you can withdraw before the deadline to see if the format is okay. Because if you wait until the last minute, when we do, we get people who think it's going to be okay and that it and something happens and it's not. And there's nothing we can do because it's closed. There are no, we don't make any exceptions. We can't make any exceptions. The thing closes and that's it. So check it out. Remember, this is almost $160,000 that you are asking for the federal government to give you, you know, for your graduate study. Take the time because you could get it and you have a lot more flexibility to pursue research that you may want. So, is there an opportunity for one-on-one counseling to answer questions about qualifications? Please read, please read, do the test. And then if you still have questions, then you can contact info@nsfgrp.org. But we do get a lot of applications, so it's probably helpful for you to do it earlier. They're open now. The application module is open now. You could try putting them up. Does this format work? Does it not work? Follow the format and the template exactly, and so that there's not any technical glitches. Unfortunately, at NSF, we do have technical glitches. So. There's a question about, is the GRP stipend taxable? You should look into that. You're not working for us. You're not working for the institution. Your institution, ideally, will have some information about how you do it. But so let's just make sure that you do that. We're not going to provide tax advice. So regarding the $37,000 stipend, is this only paid during the academic year? Or also in the summer. So full-time enrollment for us, so it's for many, maybe this might come as a surprise to people who aren't in graduate school, but summer is not a semester off for many graduate students. You are working. That's when you have time to do research and do it. So yes, and it will depend, of course, on your institution, but the payment, we expect it's going to be paid in 12 monthly increments over the years. And the intent of this stipend is so that you will have full time to devote to your graduate study and your research and not have to, you know, get a second job, go and be an Uber driver, a bouncer, a grocery bagger, so that you're trying to, you know, make money. We want you to be able to focus on research because we really want, we're looking for people who have potential to make an impact, make a contribution. You might be the one person who can solve this problem. And I'm just going to take a teensy-eensy anecdote right here. I knew a very famous computer scientist said once, he was the president of the National Academy of Engineering, Bill Wolf. He said he had a student who came to him with a question about a problem. He said, oh, no, that's impossible. I mean, people have tried to do this before. It didn't work. No, it's impossible. And so she went away a couple or 3 months later, and she came back and she had solved this problem. So, and he wasn't expecting it. So we're looking for people with creativity, you know, flexibility, insight, that spark, somebody who's going to be able to look at a problem and say, well, maybe we could do it this way. Or others. So, and the fellowship, because it isn't restricted to what you propose to do, gives you the flexibility to be able to do that. And there's no, you know, payback requirement either. So let's see. There's a lot of very good questions in here. Can I apply with an interdisciplinary topic such as art and computer science or music and computer science? Computer science has to be the primary. It has to be a degree in an eligible field. Please, if you're trying to, you know, doing something else, maybe I'm all in favor of art and music, but computer science will be the eligible field. And so please go look at the fields of study. Okay, so once again, I think there was another question about the 3 years of funding. Please go look at the solicitation. This is a very interesting question. I'm just starting my PhD research and the details of my research haven't been fully fleshed out. Yes, that's quite common. How detailed does the research goal statement need to be? So, let me point out that of the two statements, the personal statement is 3 pages. The reviewers want to know who you are as a person because we tell them they are assessing the potential and looking at the entire person, a whole person. The research plan is to help them understand how you think. Are you a creative thinker? Or is what you're proposing, you know, soundly based? Are you up on things in your field? And so it helps if you can do the best that you can to make that clear to the reviewers, your best presentation of yourself and your thought and your capabilities and your education and your accomplishments, so they can understand who they're selecting. Do you need to have a mentor or PI? No, you don't need to have a mentor or PI. And then other fields maybe, and it will of course depend on institution, but there are fields where it's a very common for students to go into grad students to go into lab rotations. They do this in chemistry and bio, it's very common. So you don't have a faculty advisor. And this is not a PI, and you won't be the PI, but it will help if they could at least understand why you would be a great candidate for a fellow, to be a fellow. Another question. Successful. Okay. This is a question that comes up a lot. Can you speak to successful applicants who have not had much, if any, previous research experience? So this comes up a lot, especially for undergraduates. And we are strongly encouraging undergraduates and bachelor's degree holders to apply, because actually in the original legislation of this program, which goes back to 1950, they're looking to recruit people into STEM, into science, looking for potential. And graduate students are technically already recruited into STEM because they've selected their graduate program. So we do encourage undergraduates and bachelor's degrees. So I think it's helpful if you haven't had any much previous experience, but at least you can ideally consult with an academic advisor. If you have an idea for a project, it would be helpful if you consult with an academic advisor, I think, because one, we don't know the applicants or what they're doing specifically. And so it's better to have somebody look at it, maybe who might have advised other students who may have, you know, faculty often have advised a lot of students, and they have a lot of suggestions that could be helpful. We also ask whether your institution has, like, offers, you know, application writing workshops, training. If they don't, a lot of universities do. And a lot of universities, some departments require all their first year graduate students to write fellowship applications. It helps because you're understanding how to pitch research and how it gets funded. So if they don't offer it, I always say, hey, go to your dean, ask them to support a seminar or a workshop. Even if it's just something informal that you can get together and, I don't know, they can give you money for pizza or something. Organize something, because sometimes reading other people's applications helps you to see, well, okay, that's clear. This isn't clear. So maybe for my application, I should make this more clear. Okay, so let's see. Oh, goodness, there's a lot of questions. Is there anything you would like to weigh in on, Tom or Wendy? There's a lot of very detailed questions in here. This is a very important question. If you have not been accepted to a graduate program, but applied to one, can or should I apply to the NSF, to the GRP? Yes, please apply. Also, when you're applying to graduate programs, apply to more than one. Please apply to more than one. It might be your dream program, but maybe that year there isn't room for you. And this fellowship can't be deferred. We don't hold it. You get it, and then you have to start in that fall in a graduate degree program. There's no pushing. No, can I come back? No, there's no gap year. No, you have, that's the way the requirement is. If you apply, you're offered one, you accept, and you have to start in the fall. So, okay. Let's see, am I missing anything?
The years seem to be confusing people. Second year PhD student.
So the question is essentially a first year or a second year of whatever graduate degree program that is. It could be a master's degree program. Yes, GRFP does support master's degrees. So if you're in the first year of a master's degree program, yes. If you're in the second year, but it's it's not directly attached to a PhD program, or you want to go to a different institution, you can still apply. But if you get the fellowship, you can take it to another institution, but you have to start in that fall. That's the requirement for all applicants, for all fellows. You get an offer, you accept the offer, you have to start your graduate study in the fall. So once again, sorry if I've been So see, this is why Sam's better. She's just calm and she's very clear. Okay, but read the requirements. Please read the requirements. We want great applications in computer science and engineering. We want them. So there's a lot of very detailed, I cannot answer questions about your specific situation. So once again, please go read the detailed eligibility criteria, try the eligibility decision tree. And then if you have questions, then you can contact info@nsfgrfp.org. So.
I think it's important to realize that if you go to the GRFP website, it is really an amazing place. And lots of these questions, they have a decision tree on there. So please go and look, put your information in, and I think you'll get the information you want. They've really worked hard to make this clear.
So there's a question in here about whether you can apply if you're an undergraduate at a Chinese university. So all federal fellowships by regulation are restricted to US citizens, permanent residents, and US nationals. Those are people who are born in territories such as, you know, Guam, American Samoa. You must be a US citizen or permanent resident. You can't be in a J-1 visa or you're, you know, in the process at the time of the deadline. You must be in one of those statuses. And once again, federal regulation. I always remind everybody, remember, NSF is not a private foundation. We're not a friendly neighborhood foundation. We're a federal government agency in the executive branch, and we are constrained by federal laws and regulations, which we must follow. We don't have the discretion or the flexibility to make exceptions. So. If I were, okay, there's a question. If I were awarded a GRFP, does it prevent me from getting a TA ship or an RA ship? No, there are 2 years when you don't, if in a 5 year, in a reserve year, you're not getting any money from NSF, you can take a TA ship or an RA ship. Then you should also, of course, check with your institution, because regardless of whether you get a fellowship or not, you remain, first and foremost, a graduate student enrolled at your institution, and you're subject to all of the requirements of the degree program. So you're a student at XYZ University first, and you're being funded by NSF GRFP to pursue your graduate studies. there's a lot of very interesting questions.
Do you have something you want to add? It looked like you were raising your hand, were you?
No, I was just twiddling my pen as I looked at the questions.
Okay.
And twiddles.
There's also another question about the one academic year. The issue is completion of a full academic year. A second year PhD student that may have started in the previous August is eligible because they haven't completed more than one academic year. So if you're in the fall semester, you've only completed one. So please, once again, you know, read the solicitation and contact info@nsfgrfp.org. What are common application mistakes? Well, that's a very good question. Probably the thing is not getting it in or waiting until the last minute. Literally, I know we're pounding you on this, but please don't. These things take a lot of time. They take a lot of time. Don't waste your time and effort by waiting until the last minute to submit. Second, and I think the other thing is people don't read whether they're eligible or what they're proposing to do is eligible. This year, we do have, you're allowed to be, there's an exception about biomedically, about research. Read the exceptions in there, because there's a thing in there for computer science, please. We are accepting research that has a health focus if it is supporting fundamental research in computer science. So read follow the instructions. The other thing is make sure to have, if you can, as much as possible, at least three letters. It helps. The reviewers, it just helps the reviewers. And the reference writers often see things about applicants that you don't even know about yourself because you're just a student. You're doing your thing. You're really great. You're outstanding. You have no idea. But a faculty member, like, this is the best student I have seen in the past 15 years. They don't even know that they're incredible. And they can tell the reviewer in their reference letter why you're so incredible. Let's see. There's another question about money. Is it so this is a lot of questions about money and what are constraints. So you can't have a GRF with any other federal fellowship concurrently. If you apply to it individually, F31 is what NIH has, NDSEG, which is common, DOE, computer science, you cannot hold them together. You can be supported as an RA on an advisor's grant, or maybe if the institution has a traineeship, that's possible. But once again, you should check that. And because the institution is responsible for making sure that people aren't getting ineligible support, because nobody ever wants to say, well, you shouldn't have gotten this money. And, the institution doesn't want to get in trouble for that either. So you should check to make sure it's not an individual fellowship for which you are applying, just like with GRFP, directly to the federal government for funding. Okay, so first year, there's a very interesting question. There's a lot of people who are worried about whether first year grad students or second year, there are different levels. How do the reviewers, consider them? Because a second year graduate student has a year, they've been through grad school. So this is a big issue. And also undergraduates, like I'm competing with graduate students. How am I supposed to do that? So once again, these reviewers are, many of them are faculty. They manage students, undergraduates. They have a lot of experience with students, undergraduates, graduate students, and they understand there's what you might expect a second year graduate student to have accomplished and to be able to do that you would not expect from somebody who's just entering, grad school or as a senior. So this we emphasize that over and over to our reviewers. That these are different students. And as people tell us all the time, they're just an undergrad. We know. Please remember that not only are the reviewers, a lot of them, the majority of them are faculty or were faculty or work with students. Many or most of the NSF program officers were also faculty and were at academic institutions before they came to NSF. So this is something that they're very familiar with. We're all very familiar with.
So I know we probably can keep talking because there's definitely, as you say, a lot of interesting questions, but we're getting to the very last minute of the hour. So I want to make sure that I thank our panelists, especially Sammy and John Hahn. You guys are amazing. And I also want to encourage everyone who's on the call, if you didn't get your question answered, first, please do go to the NSF website. It's very searchable. It has a lot of good information. I agree, it's sometimes difficult to read, but it's very incredibly informative. And then you can follow up with email questions if that was not sufficient. And we will post, I don't know if Wendy has any more insight, but we will definitely post the recording and make the slides available to you all. Anything else anybody wants to add?
No, just apply. Don't make us, have worse FOMO next year. apply. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. And thanks to our wonderful colleagues from GRFP. I agree with Jung Moon. Apply.
Apply. Yes.
Thank you.